about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Well, it's a little breezy out there. Let's check out some winds. See who's at Watonga. 31 mile an hour with gust up to 41. 19 at Altus with gust up to 25. Cheyenne, 20 mile an hour wind with 27 mile an hour gust. And Arnett slacking up there on the wind. 11 mile an hour wind at the Mesonet Center there with 19 mile an hour gust. But man, you go out there in the panhandle, that's a whole different world out there. Boise City, 51 mile an hour sustained winds with 62 mile an hour gusts straight out of the southwest west. 34 mile an hour wind at Goodwill, 44 mile an hour gust. 40 mile an hour gust at Beaver with 29 miles per hour. So anyway, it's kind of breezy out there. Let's check out what the temperatures are around our listening area. Hollis 64, Woodward you're 67, Buffalo 67, 71 degrees at Beaver, 61 degrees at Perryton, 62 at Shamrock, 63 at Wheeler. And speaking of Wheeler, it is the Wheeler General Store Happy Cap Hour today, all hour long. And we'll have more on Wheeler General Store coming up here in just a little bit. Okay, let's see what's happening in the world right now. Nothing crazy happened with any of my... I didn't have any episodes with cattle yesterday. Took some cattle to the sale barn. Kept two bulls. Kept a heifer. Weaning them right now. The bulls are going to be herd bulls to replace the one I got injured here in the recent last 60 days down there in the breaks. Looks good. Dr. Mouse did a good job on them. I just branded the two bulls, didn't brand the heifers, trying to find a young person out there that might be interested in showing her for me as a commercial heifer. And then what else is going on? Got them fed. Nothing crazy, I don't guess. I got to go check some after show today. Got some heifers from my landlord at our cabin. Need to check them. And checked them since the day before yesterday. None of them was closed, so I gave them a day off of looking at my ugly face yesterday. All right. Man, I know the corn is crashing fast. Grains and soybean futures dropped in overnight trading as exports from Ukraine continue to build, adding to global supplies and diminishing demand for U.S. supplies. More than 11 million metric tons of agriculture products have been shipped from Ukrainian ports under a deal brokered by the U.N. and Turkey in last July. About 450,000 tons of grain have been shipped monthly from Ukraine through Poland. Still, more than 30 vessels are still waiting to be inspected before their grain can move into its final destination, according to the UN. Some of these vessels have been waiting inspection since before Thanksgiving. Still, the flow of wheat and corn out of Ukraine adds to global availability of grains and may curb demand for supplies from the United States. Winter wheat in the U.S. meanwhile is rated 34% good or excellent at the start of this week, up from 32% last week. 91% of the crop has emerged from the ground and started growing, up from 87% a week earlier and just ahead of the prior five-year average of 90%. Soybean futures also were lower overnight amidst favorable weather in Brazil, the world's largest exporter of oil seeds. Moisture levels likely will benefit from rain in west central and south central areas of Brazil and precipitation next week will likely improve soil and crop conditions in that region. So that's one of the reasons, a few of the reasons why we got such a fluctuation in our market. Wheat futures for March delivery lost 13.5 cents to 782 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City wheat was down 11.25 cents to 888.5 a bushel. Corn for March delivery fell 7.25 cents to 659.75 cents a bushel. Soybean futures for January delivery dropped 38 cents to $14.31.5 a bushel. Soy meal gained 350 to 421.30 a short ton, while soy oil plunged 4.5 to 67.38 a pound. Exports sales of corn and wheat plunged week to week, while bean sales were a little changed according to data from the USDA. Corn sales in 7 days that ended on November 24th dropped to 602,700 metric tons from 1.85 million tons the previous week. Mexico was the biggest buyer of 387,100 metric tons. Unnamed country took 78,000 tons. Hong Kong was in there for 34,000, Japan had 27,000, and Colombia took also 27,000 tons of corn. It kind of surprises me about Mexico buying all that corn since they're going non-GMO. Hey, I found out the reason why the president of Mexico is wanting to do away with GMO is because his wife is a big GMO hater. And she doesn't want any GMO crops in Mexico, period. So this morning on a report. So that's the reason why all the ruckus. Wheat sales declined 155,500 metric tons from 511,000 tons a week earlier. Algeria bought about 58,000 tons. Mexico, 32,800. Japan took 26,700. Nigeria was in there for 25,000 tons. South Korea came in there and bought a little bit, 6,100 tons. Exports for the week were reported at 271,200 metric tons, but that's up from 138,000 the previous week. Last but not least, soybean sales last week came in at 693,000 metric tons versus 690 a week earlier, about the same. China looks like they basically took most of it, 927,400 tons. Netherlands had 177,000. And it must be a misprint because 927 plus 177 is almost 1.1 million, and they only sold 693,000. So somebody misprinted there. The UK bought 66,000 tons, Mexico 56,000, Iraq got 44,000. Looks like Iran canceled an order for a big order for 702,000. I'm guessing they canceled that after the USA kicked their butt in soccer, am I guessing. But anyway, just a guess. That's not what I read on the report. But anyway, exports of soybeans last week were at 2.12 million metric tons, and that's down from 2.43 million tons the previous week. Not too bad. Weather-wise, in our agriculture belt, weather maps are lit up this morning as weather in the winter type is expected in the northern plains, while dry, windy weather is forecast for the southern plains and the central corn belt. Winter weather advisories will take effect this morning in parts of North Dakota, northern South Dakota, and areas of western Minnesota amid some snowfall and strong winds, according to the National Weather Service. Up to 2 inches of snow is forecast in that area, along with winds gusting up to 45 miles an hour. In the southern plains, meanwhile, down here where we're at, red flag and high wind warnings have been issued for most of southwest and central Kansas. As you can see, I was reading those wind from the Panhandle, Oklahoma, a while ago. They're getting it. 50-mile-an-hour sustained wind right now, so it's getting it. Winds in that area will be sustained from 35 to 45 miles an hour, with humidity dropping as low as 15%. any fires could easily get out of control with the dry air in the high wind. So everybody needs to be careful up there. Check your chains, check your bearings. There's no welding on gates. I know. You've been needing to fix that gate for about 6 months now. Why choose today of all days to do it? Back over here towards the east in eastern Iowa and northern Illinois, winds will gust up to 50 miles an hour today, making traffic a little high profile vehicles a little hard, a little difficult. Tree limbs may be a risk along with some power outages. All right. Well, if you're watching on Facebook or on our website, I also have, not only do I have the Wheeler General Store cap one, but I got my Davis Angus hoodie on that the Davis family gave me earlier this year, in January, February, I don't remember. But anyway, they gave it to me, and I was wearing it today. So when I turned my camera on earlier, I sent a picture of that to the second in charge of Davis Angus Cattle Company, Mr. Jim Davis. Anyway, he said I was, what did he say? What was his exact words? Let me see what exactly he said. That way I ain't putting out false information out there. He said, excellent fashion statement. So anyway, if you're watching there, check it out. When we come back, I'll tell you a little bit about the Wheeler General Store. We'll talk cattle. Looks like Elk City was having a pretty good run on cattle this morning, even at 9 o'clock when I was coming the back way from Sayre over to Elk City. I followed three or four gooseneck loads of cattle headed to the sale barn. So it looks like they're going to have a pretty good run on cattle. I'll get an update on that from you later on. So anyway, for you, sorry, not from you, but for you. Anyway, we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Red Angus is probably most commonly known for the maternal breed. More maternal type cows. A heifer lays down, has a calf. She goes over and gets the calf up instantly, and the calf goes to nursing, and they're very protective of their calves too. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with HiPro. For HiPro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
They're built better. They're tough. It's heavier steel, rubber flooring. They're framed in differently. Their tires come 18 ply. You could drive through a mesquite patch. These things are just built to use out in the thick of things. If you're going to catch a cow out in the middle of a section, you're going to drag a huge trailer out there to her. Farmers and ranchers love huge trailers, and we've got them. Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246.
Good afternoon, Jimmy's great stewards of the land. This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, November 18th. I'm Drew Cobb. 1,785 head were sold, 3 head of steers at 283 brought 272, 5 at 346 brought 252, 10 at 480 brought 202, 13 at 545 brought 184, 5 at 639 brought 177, 8 at 688 brought 155, 5 at 761 brought 172, 13 head of heifers at 321 brought 200, 60 at 465 brought 185, 10 at 490 brought 164, 12 at 541 brought 167, 18 at 561 brought 165, 4 at 640 brought 152, 8 at 896 6 brought 145. Butcher cows were 40 to 77. Butcher bulls brought 46 to 105.50. Bred cows were 860 to 1650. Pairs brought 1,000 to 1725. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
According to the Gabe Gadget Mesonet Center here in our studio, Elk City, 62.2 degrees, 47% humidity. Anyway, it's showing winds here. It's the only thing I don't like about this. I've got to look down here. 12 miles an hour with gust up to 20 right here at the studio, but we're down here amongst all these skyscrapers, so we don't get the wind. You guys get out in the country. Well, it is the Wheeler General Store. Happy Cap Hour. The Wheeler General Store is the go-to store in Wheeler County. Actually, it's all surrounding counties. It's a great store. From animal feed and farm and ranch supplies to paint and barbecue supplies, they are a one-stop shop. The Wheeler General Store has been serving the Texas Panhandle for over 30 years. The owners, Nathan and Charity Hepley, take pride in knowing when you walk into their store, their team will be ready to help you with all their your product needs. Being a do-it-best store in a small town makes it easy and affordable to get products that are hard to find in a timely manner. Keep your farm and ranch running properly with all the items that they offer. Delivering feed is their specialty. They have been a high-pro dealer for over 10 years. They deliver feed to ranches and stores all over the Texas Panhandle, Kansas, Oklahoma, and even New Mexico. Located at 15868 Highway 152, just outside of Wheeler, Texas, they look forward to serving you. Easy to find. They're right there on the east side of town, just as you're coming in from like Sweetwater, south side of the road. It's a dream come true for any farmer or rancher to get in there. Also, I did notice in there that they are selling homegrown beef and processed beef from Amarillo, from Edis Butcher. I think that's where it's from. I noticed the other day. So they actually have beef available in their store to sell. So think about that. Support your local economy. Buy local. How's that? All right. Let's see what's happening over here in the grain futures. Hadn't mentioned that. December corn, no bueno, down 16 today at 634. March is down 13 at 647. May is down 11 at 648. Soybeans for January up 8, 1437. March is 1445, up a little bit over 8. May is up 8 also at 1452. Soybean meal is up 0.3 for December, 421.20 a short ton. January is up 1.4 at 423 even. And March is 421.70, up 2. Soybean oil down 1.4 at 67 for December, 64.94 for January, down 2.44. Hard red winter wheat down quite a bit today. December is 878, down 25. March, 869, down 21. Oats, Anyway, December oats is 377, down 1.6. But March, that's why I said, wow, March is at 358, and it's down almost 20. So something going on out there. All right, what's cotton doing? Cotton's up a little bit today. It's at 84 cents a pound for March, 84 cents a pound for May. And let's talk about cattle finally. Of course, with the grains all plunging, cattle are up. December live cattle, 153.42. February, 155.97. And we just got an update in the middle of my read. And let me find it. There we go. Let me start all over because the numbers changed. December live cattle 153.42, February 156 even, April 159.67, June 156.17. Feeder cattle for January 182.80, March is 185.42, lean hogs December 82.85, February 90.25, April 95.52. What's happening over here with all the money? Everything's in the red as far as oil, natural gas, S&P, NASDAQ, Dow. Crude oil West Texas is at $80.08. Natural gas is at $6.37 for January. S&P's down 27, NASDAQ's down 150, Dow's down 112. Oh, anyway, just crazy. It's Friday. Everybody wants to go leave all out of the office early. How about that? All right, let's see what's happened at Woodward yesterday. My curiosity. I'm surprised myself. I just found the article and the USDA deal. I didn't even look at it, so now I get to look at it. And so I'll be just as surprised as you are. Total receipts at Woodward yesterday, reported by Jerry Nine here. 4,406 heads sold at their feeder calf sale yesterday compared to 2,900 last week, but they had 4,845 head last year compared to the last two sales, or the sales 2 weeks ago, because we had Thanksgiving. Feeders, steers, and heifers mostly steady. Steer calves mostly steady with instances of $10 higher on the thinner flesh, better quality calves. Heifer calves steady to $4 higher. Demand was moderate to active. Quality was average. Supply included 100% feeder cattle, with 49% of them being over 600 pounds. All right, a lot of unwinged marked on this map today. Let's check out some unwinged stuff. Some 308 pounders, 230 a pound. Some 398, 250 a pound. Some 426 pounders were going anywhere from 203 to 234 a pound. And then we got down here in the 500 pound ones, some unwinged ones. 528s brought up to 216. Average was a little over $200.20 per 100 weight. Slide on down here to the 600 pounders. We had some 622 pound unwinged ones brought up to $1.70, but some 617 pounders that were winged brought up to $1.89, so that's 19 cents difference. And then again, it just depends on the quality of calves. I'm not there, I'm just going off what they say. Some 730 pounders brought $1.75. some unwinged ones that weighed 716 brought $1.65, and then we had some 780 pounders brought up to $1.77. And then down here in the 800-pound range, we had some unwinged ones brought that weighed 808, brought $1.65. And then some 915-pounders, I'm guessing that were winged because it doesn't say unwinged, brought $1.70 up to $1.73. So you do the math, that's $1,600 bucks a head right there for some 900-pounders. Check out some of the heifers real quick before I have to go to break. We got some unwinged ones weighing 318, brought $1.90. Some unwinged ones weighing 374, $1.78. But some winged ones weighing 412 brought $1.98, or up to $1.98. And then some 437 ones unwinged up to $1.88. And then 532 unwinged, $1.75. And 600 pound unwings of 616 pounds to be exact, 165.50 was top end on those, 160 on 689s. And then down here some 819 pounders brought $1.63 that were, I'm assuming, wing. Anyway, all right, we come back, we'll see what's happening in the ag world.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Brian Baca is an investment advisor representative of and advisory services offered through Royal Fund Management, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Hello, this is Brian Baca with Advanced Financial Strategies in Clinton. We'd like to wish you and your family a happy and healthy holiday season and encourage you to reflect on your blessings you've experienced. I've found that reflecting on your blessings instead of your disappointments will provide not only a sense of peace and prosperity, but renewed optimism during this time of year. We are extremely thankful for all of the relationships we've been blessed with over the past 28 years in the financial planning business and are looking forward to many more years in helping you navigate the course ahead of you toward achieving your goals. If your confidence has been shaken this year and you are questioning your current course toward the next chapter in your life, let us provide you a second opinion to help you decide if a course correction would be in order. Give us a call and let's visit and possibly help you begin the new year with renewed optimism. I would argue that faith and family are most important this time of year. May your holiday be full of warmth and cheer. Give us a call at 323-6800 or check us out on our website, retirewithbacca.com.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
When somebody has a claim, all they have to do is call our office. That's it. Tell me what happened, and then after that, we turn it into our claims department. We don't ask you to go out and take photographs of your vehicle. We don't ask you to do anything through an app. We turn that claim in, and our adjusters will contact you, and then we send somebody out to look at the vehicle. No matter where it may be, if you're at work, you know, we coordinate to fit your schedule. If it's something on your home, the adjuster will come out, basically do an assessment of the damage, but it's all in our hands at that point. You know, the customer's not asked to do anything. We're not going to ask you to go get any estimates or download any app, take pictures, upload all that. That's our job. We take care of every bit of that.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
It's a holiday free-for-all at Galleria Furniture and Mattress Outlet. Now's the time to deck your halls with free furniture. Buy any reclining sofa and loveseat, get the matching recliner free. Buy any Spring Air or Tommy Copper mattress, get a wireless adjustable base free. Galleria has a whole lot of free holiday deals. Plus, you could win free groceries for a year. So make your list. Check it twice and come in and register for a year's worth of free groceries at Galleria Furniture and Mattress Outlet with six locations.
Attention high school juniors and seniors. Western Equipment is hosting their annual Ag Tech Invitational on January 14th at our store in Plainview, Texas. Sign up to compete for a chance to win $60,000 in scholarships and $30,000 in prizes. This competition is open to any high school junior or senior interested in mechanics, agriculture, or just winning prizes. Parents and teachers, don't feel left out. You can tour our Career Expo to learn all about John Deere, Western Equipment, and other job opportunities within the company. Spots are limited, so register today at west-equip.com/competition.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Let's check out a forecast for northwestern Oklahoma. We know it's going to be windy. Let's just go with Beaver, Oklahoma. How's that? Because we know it's windy there. Currently, right now, humidity is 17%, temperature is 72. The winds are out of the west southwest at 28 miles an hour with wind gust up to 36. Today, breezy and 74. Looks like you're going to make it. Tonight, just the opposite. Blustery winds out of the north, northwest, 10 to 25 miles an hour with gust up to 40 and 25 for a low. Tomorrow, not so much wind, but 45 degrees for a high. Sunday, warm back up a little bit more, 57. Monday 66, and Tuesday it cools back down to 47 degrees. And that's your forecast for northwestern Oklahoma. And currently the warnings right now that they got up for there, there's a wind advisory till 5 o'clock this evening and a fire weather warning until 6 o'clock tonight. And this is all issued out of the National Weather Service out of Amarillo, Texas, and that is for basically most of the panhandle up there, all the panhandle actually. And anyway, let's continue on. Welcome back to the Wheeler General Store. Happy Cap Hour. Let's see what's going on wherever we want. Oh, you guys, let's talk about Christmas trees. Texas Christmas tree industry is expecting a tremendous year. Not a tremendous, but a tremendous year. Looks like the Texas Christmas tree sales will be getting a boost this year, says a Texas A&M AgriLife expert. Fred Raley, tree improvement coordinator for the Texas A&M Forest Service, is amongst those anticipating an increase in Christmas tree purchases this year in Texas and elsewhere. Since COVID, there has been far fewer family gatherings around the Christmas holidays. As a result, there has been an increased desire for families to get together and to have a Christmas tree as a centerpiece of that gathering. Even with COVID still around and CDC guidelines in place, the desire and the demand is still there. But not just any Christmas tree, he said. There will be a much greater demand for live Christmas trees this year, as many people consider the symbol of the Christmas tree is a symbol for the holidays. How's that? People like to select their own Christmas trees, and there are many locations throughout the state where they can choose their tree and have it cut. Me, I first got married. I was still a punk kid. I went out to somebody's land, snuck on there, cut me a Christmas tree down, brought it back. It wasn't a good deal. Not only had a bobcat decided to use this tree for a bathroom area, it was a cedar tree. It wasn't a Christmas tree. So I was dumb. I didn't know. I didn't care. But anyway, hey, it's a thought that counts. But anyway, people like to select their own Christmas tree, and there's many locations throughout the state, including Oklahoma, where they can choose their tree and have it cut. For many families, there is nothing like choosing your own tree and having the smell of a bobcat and the feel of a live Christmas tree. It's part of the just a view for Christmas. Families love it. And he also noted that almost all artificial Christmas trees are imported. Keep that in mind. I know some people out there don't like GMO crops, but you're buying a Christmas tree made in overseas. So how uncool is that? Anyway, live trees have the benefit of being entirely biodegradable. And somewhere, some towns always, I think Elk City does, maybe Clinton, but everybody has a collection for those trees and they use them for brush piles and lakes to be a fish attractor. So keep that in mind. According to the Texas Christmas Tree Growers Association, the TCTGA, there are 175 Christmas tree farms in Texas producing more than 200,000 trees annually on just 2,500 acres statewide. This year, the live Christmas tree industry in Texas has had its challenges. We all know where I'm going with this, the drought and then rising production input costs. But the TCTGA Executive Secretary, Stan Reed, said he does not expect to see any drastic price increases on Texas-grown trees. Prices will vary depending on the size and the type of tree and may be a little higher than last year, but generally there should be no big price increases. He said, however, when you may find higher prices is for those trees that are grown out of state and then brought into Texas, and they will have additional costs associated with the transportation. Last but not least, Spring Creek Growers, a family operation in southwestern Montgomery County, grows and harvests Virginia pine and Leland cypress trees for Christmas season on about 30 acres. It offers a choose and cut, pre-cut, and live trees. Bob Jones, who's one of the owners, and with his wife Carla, said the drought did not significantly affect the production this year. He said they have 12,000 trees on site. Can you imagine taking care of 12,000 trees? Holy crap. Anyway, because we irrigate, there was no real impact on his production from the drought. But we did have an additional water cost from the irrigation. He also noted the increase in cost over the past year for herbicides and other chemicals inputs such as fertilizer. Anybody in agriculture knows that's going on. Our chemical input costs generally went up about 15% across the board, and the cost of fertilizer has doubled. But we are doing what we can to continue to make our live trees affordable, even if that takes away from our profit margin. He says that his trees grown on his farm will likely have 5 to 6% increase over last year, while trees brought in from out of state will probably have a 15 to 20% increase. Anyway, they bring in some Fraser. I'm hoping I'm saying, yeah, Fraser pines and nobles from out of state and give the customers more variety. These trees will cost likely anywhere from 10 to 12% more here, but a lot of guys are tacking it on up to 20%. Anyway, the one thing, last thing, the most widely grown live Christmas tree species in Texas are the Virginia pine, Leland cypress, Afghan pine, and the Arizona cypress. There you go. Merry Christmas. Let's all go buy a live tree and have live trees this year. Let's make sure bobcats hadn't been hanging around it. Hey, some of the updates. I did an update in Oklahoma yesterday on soil in the southern, in the panhandle. Overall soil moisture was short to very short, but a few areas received some much needed moisture last week. Overall range and pasture conditions are just, they suck. They're really poor. And overall crop conditions, corn and sorghum harvest continues, with cotton harvest progressing behind freezing temperatures. Winter wheat was still being planted in some parts of the Texas Panhandle. Early planted wheat that was irrigated now has stocker cattle on those acres, and wheat stands were improving with time. Cattle were being supplemented on rangeland. Hay supplies have improved a little bit with summer forages being baled or already baled. So anyway. All right, when I get back, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast, and we'll talk about some other things. Meanwhile, let's see what Jerry Nine's got to say.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction for sale last Tuesday, November 29th. We sold 713 cattle, bulls, and calves. Thursday, December 1st, we sold 4,406 calves and feeders for a total of 5,119 cattle for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows brought 81.5 to 98. 10 cows brought 50 to 73, with the bull brought 75 to 106. 3 to 4 year old open cows to breed, 95 to 106. With their 2-day year old bred cows, 1,000 up to 1,560. 5-day year old pairs, 1,485 to 1,535. 100 steer cattle, 3 to 350 steers, 230 to 252. 4 to 450, 203 to 234. 5 to 550, 182 to 216. 6 to 650, 155 to 189. 7 to 750, 155 to 176. 750 to 8 weeks, top 177, with our 8-day 50 steers, 168 to 175. We sold 138 steers, brought up to 178. 9 to 950 steers, 167.5 to 173. 100 heifers, 3 to 350 heifers, 169 to 193. 4 to 450, 157 to 198. 5 to 550, 155 to 183.5. 6 to 650, 145 to 171. 7 to 750, 164 to 168, 60 heifers weighing 819, breeding 163, and 40 heifers weighing 883, brought 159. We got 3 more Tuesday sales, 2 more Thursday sales. Our last sale this year will be Tuesday, December the 20th, first sale back January the 5th. For this Tuesday, December the 6th, we're expecting 50 bred cows, 6 to 8 years old. We got 30 other bred cows and pairs. Then Thursday, December the 8th, next Thursday, we will have 840 heifers off of one ranch, 550 to 6 weight. Plus 6 other loads of feeders so far. Give us a call. Thanksgiving, Jerry Nine, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Wouldn't it be great to partner with a feed company that knows all about the cattle industry? A company that owns and raises cattle themselves? Company that knows the blood, sweat, and tears you put into the operation every day. That company is Hobart Farm and Garden. They are your local High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Farming is the greatest family business in America. It's teamwork between fathers and sons, mothers and daughters. Generation after generation of families working together to provide our local area with the food we need to live and grow our local economy. We owe a lot to our local farmers and ranchers. We're proud to be your bank. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre. Together we grow. Online at fnbec.bank.
Good afternoon, all you great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, November 28th. 1,344 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 346 brought 246. 6 at 526 brought 200. 25 at 587 brought 186. 7 at 606 brought 169. 59 at 700 brought 178.75. 70 at 786 brought 176.50. 12 at 805 brought 178. 4 head of heifers at 355 brought 184. 18 at 475 brought 185. 4 at 628 brought 168. 10 at 684 brought 161.50. 3 at 720 brought 159. 12 at 770 brought 160.60. 5 at 962 brought 145.50. Butcher cows were 30 to 90 and a half. Butcher bulls brought 83 to 101. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma, sale every Monday at 10 a.m. For consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hello, this is Sean Wyatt. I have a cow-calf operation, and I buy my feed from Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. Kent will provide the best service possible. I highly recommend giving SEI Agritech a call about your feed and minerals.
If you want better feed and better results, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City, your local Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, located on South Randall in Elk City.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom backs, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Cattlemen's Congress is located in the heart of cattle country and is far more than just a cattle show. Join them December 29th through January 14th to see the newest and most elite genetics North American cattlemen have to offer. Cattlemen's Congress is the gathering place of the cattle industry and offers sales of elite genetics, something for everyone's operation. Join them January 5th for a commercial cattlemen's luncheon from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. For a full schedule, sale info, and everything you need to know, visit cattlemanscongress.com.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, I'm back, maybe. Let's check this out. Let's check out the winds right now, see if they've increased everywhere. No, they're actually, if anything, they've calmed down a few miles an hour. Still, they have 47, anywhere from 34 to 47 mile an hour sustained winds going up on the panhandle and probably into southwestern Kansas and parts of the Texas panhandle there. They're still getting it, but basically it's not too bad. Let's do Eric, Oklahoma today for the southwestern forecast. Part of the state in eastern Texas panhandle today. 73 at 63 right now at Eric. Southwest winds 18 miles an hour with wind gust up to 24. Humidity is 45, a lot different than it was up north. Today high 73, tonight 31 with the wind switching out of the north, just getting it. 46 for a high tomorrow. Tomorrow night 34 for a low, and it has a 50% chance of rain. 43 for tomorrow night. And 43 for Sunday night. I skipped a block there. 60 for a high, Cindy. How's that? 43 for tomorrow night, Sunday night, and then Monday 71, and Tuesday 55. I was looking at the Oklahoma Mesonet page website a while ago, and for the next 7 days, they're calling for a really good chance of us getting anywhere from a half inch to 1 inch of rain in the southwestern part of the state, and a little bit less in the northwestern, but over east, they look like anywhere from 2 to 4 inches east of I-35, which that's pretty normal for Oklahoma, that the eastern part of the state over there where they pay more tax dollars gets more rain. Anyway, got that going on. All right, whoa. So I was thinking when I was talking about Jim Davis a while ago in my hoodie that the family gave me earlier this year. You know, bull sales are getting ready to fire up here pretty quick. And this is December, and be lots of bull sales towards the end of January. There'll be some between now and then, but lots of bull sales at the end of January, into February, and into March. And so I'm thinking you producers that are needing to replace some of your bulls need to cut back on spending money on some of the Christmas gifts you get. I'm not going to say your wife, by no chance. You always get your wife whatever she needs. But you might cut back on some of the spending on the kids or grandkids, or cut out maybe a little bit on if you buy your own present, you know, cut a little bit out of that. You need to save up your money and get ready, because I think one of the first bull sales is the Hudson Angus Farm right here at Elk City. It's, towards the end of January. January 28th, I think. So we check them out on their Facebook page, the Hudson Angus Farms. Check that out, Bert. And they sold a lot of bulls last year, and they did well, and the bulls were very good priced, but they're good bulls. And you could probably already start getting your bulls checked now if you wanted to, with the slaughter bull market and the cow market up right now. If you want to get your bull checked out, I know it's been a long season for him, but get him checked out. If he's no good, get rid of him, stash that money back, and head over to Burt's. Davis Cattle Company will be having theirs. Schweitzer will be having theirs up north, Quartermaster Creek, and there's all kinds of bull sales going on around western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle, and I'll start covering them pretty heavy with more information comes out on them. So, anyway, cut back on your spending on Christmas. Save a little money. Go buy you a new bull. That's funner to go buy a bull anyway than go Christmas shopping. I know that for a fact. So, anyway, got that going on, and let's see what else we got going on today. Been waiting on. Oh. I know we haven't had a lot of severe weather or winter weather yet, but it's coming. As a matter of fact, I've seen a couple of forecasts from the Mezzanette and from Channel 9 that as we get into December, it's going to get cold. So now that we flipped that calendar from November to December, you guys are starting to put your stuff up, finish up your sowing and any harvesting going on. I know there's still some cotton out there that needs to be harvested, but making it back to where it's going to be parked for the winter. But man, you need to properly winterize that equipment, including your applicators for spraying. There's a greater risk of breakdowns and repairs next year if you don't do it right, especially with your spray rigs. The two main types of applicators are ultra low volume and pressure type. Steve Murdy, a forage specialist with Vita Plus, recommends cleaning both of those systems with warm water and a small amount of dish soap before storing them. Applicator tanks in particular needs to be thoroughly cleaned. Otherwise, dirt will clog hoses, filters, nozzles. After rinsing that system with a soapy solution, disconnect all those hoses, nozzles, and the pump tube to allow water to escape. Ensure the applicator dries completely to prevent water from accumulating and freezing. Very low compressed air pressure can help purge that system of water. Be careful not to damage sensitive parts like pump diaphragms on pressurized systems. After cleaning the ultra low volume applicator, Murdy suggests adding recreational vehicle, which is RV antifreeze, to flush bottles. Run the system for more than 1 or 2 minutes to allow the antifreeze to circulate through the pump mechanism, flow meter, and all the hoses. Then remember to rinse the applicator with water before using it again next spring. He also notes RV antifreeze can be used on pressure type applicators by running it through the system until all hoses and nozzles have been flushed. No matter the system, he advises producers to avoid using automotive antifreeze, as these products can have toxins that will negatively affect the bacteria during your application. Before storing equipment with ultra-low volume applicators, release the clamp on the pump tube to avoid flat spots on the pump hoses. With that said, he says removing both types of applicators from machinery and keeping it in a heated building is best form of equipment care. Yeah, everybody like to have a heated building to keep your equipment in, but that's not really feasible, I don't think. What do you guys think? Anyway, let's see here. I got to check out this deal here. Oh, yeah, I had a guy text in wanting to know if I had some more bulls that I was going to hold back. And let's see here. What else we got? On a sad note, as far as I'm concerned, the U.S. farm establishments received 14.5 cents per dollar spent domestically on domestically produced food in 2021. That's last year. That's a decrease of 1 cent from a revised 15.5 cents in 2020. The figure is the lowest recorded farm share value in nearly 30 years, according to the United States Department of Agriculture's Economic Research Service. The remaining portion of the food dollar, known as the marketing share, covers the cost of getting domestically produced food from the farms to the points of purchase, including costs related to packaging, transporting, processing, and selling to the consumers. One contributor to the 2021 decline in farm share was a shift to food away from home spending. Farm establishments typically receive a smaller share of the food away from home spending because of the large amount of value added by the outlets such as restaurants. As a result, the farm share generally decreases when food away from home spending increases faster year over year at food home spending. Food away from home spending increased markedly in 2021 after a sharp decrease in the COVID-19 pandemic. Because all the restaurants, not around here, but all over the United States, a lot of restaurants were closed. So, according to the pandemic. So there wasn't a lot of that going on. So that's probably one of the reasons why it goes. Speaking of earlier with Mexico, there's another deal going on between the United States and Mexico besides corn, and it's environment and the energy. The U.S. Trade Representative, Catherine Tai, met Mexican Economic Minister Raquel and stressed the need to make progress in talks over Mexico's energy measures and its fisheries-related environmental laws. Tai also stressed the importance of avoiding any disruption in the U.S. corn exports to Mexico. I don't think it's happened yet, because if you listen to that report I did early, the first of the show, Mexico took the most corn out of anybody. So I think this is coming up next year in 2024 they're talking about. But the United States and Mexico have been holding talks to resolve a dispute over energy policy. The USDR in July demanded dispute settlement talks on the grounds that Mexican President Andres Manuel Lopez's energy policies discriminated against U.S. companies and violated the North American Trade Pact. At the heart of the complaint, which Canada joined, are holdups in granting permits, a Mexican electricity law that prioritizes state firms, and other rules that investors feel a disadvantage to them. The complaint argued Mexico's drive to tighten state control of the energy market was unfair to its companies and likely in breach of the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement, the USMCA. So there you go. Anyway, there's a lot going on with Mexico right now, so we'll keep an eye on that because it does affect us. Anyway, so what are you guys going to do this weekend? You've been quiet on the text line today. And, one guy texted in about bulls, but you've been awful quiet today. Getting ready for the weekend? Yep, it's coming. Anyway, also update on the railroad strike. President Joe Biden and Congress continue to work to avoid a nationwide railroad strike. Another meat industry group joined the calls to come to an agreement soon. The North American Meat Institute asked Congress to pass legislation to avoid that far-reaching effects, and a rail strike would cause severe supply chain disruptions for the meat and poultry industry, raising the cost of food for consumers and further damaging the struggling United States economy. They said, we urge Congress to act now to avoid, and I think there have been some votes on it. I know Inhofe and Lankford voted for it, so I don't know if that's just for the Senate. The House ain't done nothing. It had to have done something. The House voted 290 to 137 on agreement with 79 Republicans voting with Democrats on the bill. However, in a separate vote, the House voted 221 to 207 on the provision of the rail agreement that would increase paid sick leave days for the rail workers from 1 to 7. So anyway, we'll see how that goes. Currently, they're looking at December 9th, a week from today, shutting the thing down. So here's just another reason why you guys need to buy local beef from local producers and have it processed locally. You can go get all the canned goods and all that other stuff you want from the grocery stores. But as long as your freezer is full of locally purchased and produced beef, you'll be fine. Anyway, you guys have a great weekend. Enjoy the last weekend of deer season. Get your deer down this weekend. If big boy don't come by, let him go. Don't be shooting the babies. Let them grow up till next year. Anyway, you guys have a blast weekend. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. God bless.